There's a tongue-in-cheek saying that Hasidim used to say. Of course, it was saying it sarcastically, ironically, and certainly just almost like a joke. But there's a saying that Hasidim used to say that the Abarbanel caused the Reform movement to begin in Germany. That the whole Reform movement began because of the Abarbanel. Now, of course, the holy Abarbanel was a tzaddik elyon, was a supernally righteous person, the Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, known, of course, as the advisor to Ferdinand and Isabella, was one of the greatest Jews in all of history. And nobody seriously means that it was actually his fault. But what do Hasidim mean, in almost like a joking way? The Abarbanel Sefer, the Abarbanel's book on Chumash, the Abarbanel has a commentary on the Torah, but the way the Abarbanel works is that every parsha, he begins by first saying all the questions he has on the parsha, all the questions he has on the text. It could be 10, 15, 20, 30 questions. He has pages and pages of questions. And then only later does he get, after his genius commentary, explain and answer all the questions. But the joke is that the Jews in Germany would always learn Abarbanel. And of course, when do Jews most often read books on the Parsha? It's Shabbos afternoon after the Cholent. So the Jews in Germany would take the Abarbanel's book on Chumash onto the couch after the Cholent and every week start reading. And they would get all these very insightful, good, sharp questions that the Abarbanel would ask on the Parsha. And one question, two questions, 10 questions, but you all know, how much could you get through reading Shabbos after the Cholent? You know, you always take a book or a magazine or something, but you don't get very far until you fall asleep. And these Jews, every single Shabbos, would read all these questions on the weekly Parsha and fall asleep after the Cholent and never get to the answers. And therefore, they would live with all these questions in their head week after week, week after week, all these questions, questions, questions. On Torah to the extent that they started the Reform movement. Now, of course, that's like a vart, it's a cute joke, it's not 100% true, it's tongue-in-cheek, but there is some truth in it to the fact that there are many Jews throughout the generations that didn't want to learn philosophy books for that reason, because they were afraid that when you read philosophy and you read all sorts of questions about the existence of God and about Torah and etc., and you have all these questions, they were always afraid that you would either fall asleep with the question, sleep a night with the question, or never get to an answer, and that was always dangerous. But the question then becomes, on the Alter Rebbe, the author of the monumental, most fundamental book on Hasidic philosophy, the Tanya, in the second part of the Tanya, known as Shara Yichud V'Muna, the gate where the Alter Rebbe explains the unity of God, the text where the Alter Rebbe explains that nothing exists other than Hashem, that Hashem is the only existence there is, and all of reality is just the light of God and united with Hashem. That's what the Alter Rebbe explains in the second part of Tanya. And at the end of Perek Gimel, the end of the third chapter of Shar Yichud V'Emuna, the Alter Rebbe finishes the chapter with a question, with a cliffhanger. He asks a question, and he doesn't answer it till chapter 4. The question he asks is based on a parable that he gave. The Alter Rebbe brings a parable to explain, why is it that we see the world as if it does exist by itself? Seemingly, if we believe what the Baal Shem Tov taught, as he had explained in the previous chapters, that all of reality is just a constant emanation of the light of God, that Hashem is consistently emanating his light to become all the details of reality, and therefore everything just is the light of Hashem, all of reality is a revelation of God. So the Alter Rebbe asks, so how come we do see the world as if it exists, as if it's something other than being completely united within God's light? And he gives a parable to explain. He says that just like rays of the sun, when you see rays of the sun coming out of a cloud, you know for sure that these sun rays, which you see as an entity called the ray of the sun, you know that they existed in the sun as well. But when they're actually in the sun, when the rays were still in the sun before they left the sun, you would never be able to see the ray as a ray. It's just part of the ball of the sun. It's only when the ray comes onto the earth in our atmosphere where it left the sun, then you could see the ray as a self-existing entity. Says the Alter Rebbe, the same thing with the world, because our eyes don't have permission to see. The light of God, our physical fleshy eyes, until Mashiach comes, can't see God's light. Therefore, we see the world as a metzias, that we see the world as an entity that exists on its own. But if our eyes were given permission to see the light of God, we wouldn't see the physical objects of the world as physical independent objects. We would see all of physicality as just a revelation of Hashem. Therefore, just like the ray of the sun we only see as an existence when it leaves the sun, so too the world we see as an existence because we can't see the light of God. But ask the Alter Rebbe that seemingly the parable is not a good parable, because the ray of the sun actually leaves the sun. The ray of the sun leaves the finite sun and comes down to the earth where we can see it as a separate ray shining through the clouds. But the world never leaves the light of God. The world is the light of Hashem. Every object that you see in the world is a contracted ray of Hashem's light. So the question returns, there is no world other than the light of Hashem. It's not like the ray of the sun that leaves the sun. The world never leaves the light of God. It is the light of Hashem. So why do we see the world existing? And the Alter Rebbe finishes chapter 3 with this question. And then in chapter 4 gives an answer. But Chassidim asked that if we're always afraid of a person living with a question, with a philosophical question, sleeping a night with a question, why would the Alter believe of a chapter with the question? The custom, of course, of people is when you finish a chapter, you know, you close the book, you continue another day. Why wasn't the Alter Rebbe afraid that we would leave off with this question and never get to the answer? And Chassidim said, because it depends what kind of question it is. The question that we were afraid of, that the Abarbanel, etc., and that philosophy, the usual questions are, how do we know God exists? How do we know Torah is divine? How does Judaism make sense? How does God make sense because of X, Y, and Z? Those questions are dangerous to live with. But what's the Alter Rebbe's question over here that he's leaving off with a cliffhanger? The Alter Rebbe's question is, it doesn't make sense that I see that the world exists. Seemingly the world is nothing other than the light of God. It's not like a ray of a sun that actually leaves the sun. The world is within God's light all the time. So I don't understand, why do I see the world as a reality? Why do I not just see that everything is Hashem? Why do I see the world as something other than God? So with such a question, you could sleep a night, you could sleep a year, it's okay even if you never get to the answer. When it's this type of question, not about the existence of God, but how does the existence of the world make sense? If it's always within God, why does it look like it's an independent reality? Such a question you could meditate on, you could pray with, it's okay if you never get to the answer.